at the feet of Jesus. That's the name of this section of the program, at the feet of Jesus. What does it mean to be at the feet of Jesus? Mean to be disciple of Christ. We are all disciple of Jesus through his word, by his spirit. Jesus is the Lord of our faith. He's the commander of our faith. Jesus called apostles and they were at his feet for 3 years and he taught them. What did he teach them? The kingdom of God. The way to the kingdom of God. The way to righteousness. Jesus came to change lives, individual lives, to change nations, and to change the whole world. What an amazing grace. It started by changing people's life, those around him, his disciples, his followers. A radical transformation of life they were looking for. Only Jesus can give. All the apostles of old, like we, was having natural duties on the earth, job, family, whatever. But they were all experiencing dissatisfaction in their lives. Something was missing in their lives. They were looking for something, as everybody. Everybody is looking for something, meaning, significance in life. Life is not just a routine. We don't err about like masses uncertain of our goals and perspective of life. No, we have a goal. We have a purpose. That's what Jesus has come to give us, a life of purpose. He met Simon Peter in the midst of failure and changed his life forever and make him fishers of man, an occupation of destiny, and leading him through the wilderness of life to the course of life, C-O-U-R-S-E, to a place of destiny. And Simon Peter became the great apostle we know today. What are the lessons Peter has learned at the feet of Jesus? Peter has learned something special that we need to know today. And that's the message of today. The value, the authority, and the power in the name of Jesus. I repeat, Peter and the apostles learned at the feet of Jesus the value of the name Jesus Christ. The authority in the name of Jesus Christ and the power in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus trained them for 3 years and taught them the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. They have seen the word of God at work in the spirit in the life of Jesus. They have witnessed the Lord send forth his word. Lazarus came back to life. The blind recovered their sight. The lame began to walk. The deaf recovered their hearing. When John the Baptist was having his moment of doubt in the prison, he sent forth somebody to inquire from Jesus, are you the one we're waiting for, or shall we wait for somebody else? The one that testified about the greatness of Jesus is going through a moment of doubt. Jesus sent back the answer, go and tell John. The gospel is preached to the poor, the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf are raised. That was the answer of Jesus. Peter lived with Jesus for 3 years. They were living with him. He taught them. They saw him in action. His nature be revealed to them at the mountain of transfiguration. Anytime Jesus is about to perform astounding signs and miracles, he carried three witnesses: Peter, John, and James, who later became pillars because of their intimacy with Jesus. When Jesus said, who do people say I am? Peter was the first to raise his hand. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus said to him, you are Peter. Upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. And he said, I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind here on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose here shall be loose in heaven. What's the meaning of that? Jesus is saying to Peter, the declaration of faith you said about the Son of Man, that I am the Son of God, does not come from you, but my Father in heaven has revealed those words to you. That's the rock of the revealing word of God. And Jesus said, upon the rock of this living word of God, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Whatever you bind here on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. What's the meaning of that? Jesus is saying, the living rock the living word of God, in the midst of our heart gives us authority in heaven. I repeat, the word of God in the midst of our heart gives us authority in heaven. Whatever we ask, we receive. Jesus said, "He who believes in me, the works I do, he will do also." Peter believed, walked, trained, was expected to do the greater works of Jesus, and he did at Pentecost. Peter spoke, Tabitha came back from death. Now, the practical side. Jesus said to his disciples, "It's better for you I go to the Father." John chapter 16, for verse 7. "For if I do not go, the Comforter will not come. But when the Comforter comes, you will become my witnesses." Jesus repeated after his resurrection. Why this message today? Because of the resurrection of Jesus. The value of the name of Jesus Christ, the authority in the name of Jesus Christ, and the power in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, "Tarry in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high. Only then you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, to the end of the world." That's what Jesus said. And they waited in faith. They waited for the promise of the Father. They were in the upper room praying for the coming of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Why were they waiting in the upper room for the coming of the promise of the Father? Let me take you to John chapter 7. John chapter 7, verse 36. Yes, I will start from verse 36. Jesus said, "What is the thing that he said? You will seek me and not find me, and where I am, you cannot come." Where was Jesus going? Back to heaven where he was before. Where is Jesus today? Hebrews chapter 8 verse 1 said, "Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, far above all rule, principality, might, and dominion, far above any name that can be named, not only in this world, but also in the age to come." The name above all name. What is Jesus doing in heaven today? Hebrews chapter 7 verse 25, Jesus is interceding for you and me, and I. He's praying for the church. He's sitting in the seat of power, with power, to back up the living church. He's still alive, very much alive. And the eyes of Christ run through all the universe. And you will see his name working in the spirit. He's the one who back up every word of God. He said, "He who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Greater than these, because I'm going to the Father." He said here, I continue, John 7, chapter 37. "On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, 'If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living waters.'" Verse 39. "By this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive." Take note of this statement. Jesus is referring to the Holy Spirit, whom those who believe in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Take note. Jesus was not yet glorified. Jesus has to go to the cross to die for us and then resurrect in his glory. Ascended to heaven, to the position where he is now. And from there, he poured the Spirit upon all his faithful followers. Those who meet the requirement of deeper commitment receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost on fire from heaven, not from man. No man can give that one. It is Jesus. Man can baptize in water, but to immerse man's spirit into God's spirit, that's the work of Jesus. John 6:27, he has a seal, and he's the only one who gives the Spirit of God. This was the promise they were waiting for, to make them what? Effective soul winners, to make them effective witness. An effective witness must not only know Jesus theoretically, but must see the power of Christ in action in his life. He must show Jesus. He must demonstrate his faith in Christ Jesus. How did Peter show Christ in him? How Peter was able to demonstrate his faith in Christ Jesus after the Holy Ghost came? Let me take you to Acts chapter 3. From verse 1, right? Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried. A man lame from the womb, a man who has never walked in his life. Such case is not healing. Such case is miracle. A certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they led daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. He made a living by asking for alms because of no mobility. He couldn't work. He couldn't fend for himself. He depended on the generosity of people passing by every day at the gate, Beautiful gate. And a special day, this man has been there for long. The Bible never mentioned, but why Jesus never healed this person? Jesus must have passed that gate. That is, there was an appointed time for that. Jesus was preparing his disciples to send them to them at the appointed time of God. That man was set aside at God's appointed time for salvation, for healing, for deliverance. And that time came at that fateful day. God moved Simon Peter to the temple. When the man saw Peter, seeing Peter and John about to go in the temple, he asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." Two situations. Peter and John was entering the temple to worship the living God in spirit and in truth. This man was at the gate, not to worship God, but looking for money to survive. Two perspectives of life. When God looks at Peter, he saw a man God called, created, an apostle of old. But that man saw himself as a lame forever. But God saw this man and never saw a lame in the life of this man. The man was hopeless and helpless. He accepted his condition and was reduced to the condition of begging. But God never saw him as a beggar. Jesus came to restore the man to a place of significance. Only a miracle from heaven could achieve that. Peter said to him, verse 4, fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." What's the meaning of that? When you read the Bible, we should read it with the power of Holy Spirit. Fixing his eyes on him when Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of God was looking through him to see what nobody can see, to see the heart of the man, to see that God was looking not at the lame person, but a healed and free person. When you look at him, I say, "Look at us," for the man to pay attention. The man was looking at the hand of Peter for money. Then Peter said, "Stop looking at my hand. Look at my face. I'm not seeing you as a beggar. I'm not seeing you as a lame. I'm seeing you like the man God loves and God wants to restore today in the name of Jesus Christ." I continue. Verse 5. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them, money. Verse 6. Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk. He took him up by the right hand. That showed the man did not believe. Peter has to grab him and lift him up. And immediately, his feet and ankle bones received strength. Verse 8. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. What happened there? Jesus has risen. There is value, a precious value, in the name of Jesus Christ. What is the value in that name? If you know the value in that name, we will treasure that name. What is the value Peter had in that name? He says, silver and gold I do not have. What is that value? Faith is the value. Faith in the name of Jesus. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, God said, thou shalt not call my name in vain. That's what God said. If I call the name of Jesus Christ and nothing happens, if I call him in vain, nothing will happen. But Peter, that day, never called that name in vain. He called that name in the power of the Holy Spirit. In Ezekiel chapter 36, God said, verse 23, I will sanctify my name, which has been profaned among the nation. How? God said, I will sprinkle pure water on you. That's the living word. I will remove the heart of stone, the doubtful heart, the dead spirit. I will remove it. I will give you a new spirit. And I will put my spirit inside of you. That's the key. To put the spirit inside of you means to baptize you in the spirit of God, to abide in you. At Pentecost, the helper came. At Pentecost, the Holy Ghost came. Peter was no longer alone. The greater one, the Holy One, the Mighty One was inside of him, the Spirit of God. The miracle worker, the Holy Ghost, was inside of him. When we express the necessary faith in the name of Jesus, we bring the Holy Ghost on the scene, and miracle, healing, salvation, all of God's blessing become a reality in our life, in other people's life as well. The value of that name, people were astonished. Verse 12. So when Peter saw, he responded to the people, because everybody was focusing on Peter. Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us, as though we by our own power and godliness, we had made this man walk? Peter said, stop looking at me. I don't have any power, not godliness, to make this man walk. I have nothing to do with this. It's not my work. It's the work of God, work of Holy Ghost, work of Jesus. That's what Peter said immediately. Verse 16, Peter gave them the clue. He said, in his name, Jesus Christ, through faith in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him his perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Take note of this word. Peter said, the faith which comes through Christ. Faith is a gift from God. Divine faith. Not faith in faith. Divine faith, you must hear from God. You must be led by the Spirit and you pray and miracle happen. Peter was going to the temple. That was his purpose. But immediately he passed this man, he received intimation from the Spirit of God. The Spirit compelled him, moved him to pay attention to the man. When Peter looked, the Spirit ministered to him. His compassion and mercy of God was going to reveal to the life of this person. And Peter obeyed. Peter said, silver and gold I do not have. But what I have, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise and walk. And Holy Ghost came and performed the miracle take place. When you speak forth the name of Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Ghost, you have released your belief in that name and brings God's Spirit, the power of the Holy Ghost, into the scene to show the glory of that name. Now, we talk about the value. What is the value? Within that name is the key access to the kingdom of heaven. That name opened heaven, paradise, eternal life, salvation, blessing. Everything you can talk of is within that name, Jesus Christ, God our Savior. What a precious name. Within that name is access to all the blessings of heaven. So when we call that name, something should happen. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 11, let me read. Hallelujah. Every word of Jesus, every promises of God came to be fulfilled. Everybody who believed in him saw his glory. John chapter 14, let me start from verse 12. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I'm going to the Father. I'm going to the Father to do what? To pour the same Spirit of God upon you, to back up your word, to fulfill my promises by the power of the Holy Ghost right from heaven. Verse 13, whatever you ask in my name, I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. What did Peter ask? In the name of Jesus Christ, rise and walk. That's what duty of faith. His duty of faith is to release his faith. And Jesus came from heaven by the power of the Holy Ghost to bring the miracle. Verse 14, Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. That's the authority in that name. Value in that name, authority in that name. Where did Peter receive authority? When Jesus told him in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, he said, I will give you the keys to the kingdom of God. Whatever you bind here shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose shall be loosed in heaven. What's the meaning of that? I will give you a key to the kingdom of heaven. How do we know the kingdom of God has come? The power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, if I cast out demons by the finger of God, the kingdom of God is at hand. Peter was sent by Jesus. He received authority in the name of Jesus. He never did things on his own. He was led by the Spirit. He knew the value of that name, and he believed. He knew the authority in that name. He was sent by God. And he knew the power in that name. Value, authority, power. You know the value of pounds and dollars. You know the authority of money can do. And you know the power of purchase, what you can buy with it. Peter had the value of the heavenly currency, which is faith in the name of Jesus Christ. And that's the belief he released that day and brought God's power onto the scene to bring the miracles. When everybody looked at him, he said, no, it's not me. Verse 16, Acts chapter 3, verse 16. The name Jesus Christ, through faith in his name, Jesus has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes. The faith which comes through him has given this man the perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Last verse, verse 17. But now, brethren, I know you did it in ignorance, as did your rulers. Now, verse 24. Yes, all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, also have foretold these days. These days are coming. When God say, I will pour my Spirit upon all flesh. And that's what happened. Today, we are believers. What makes us believers? What do we believe? We believe in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth as the Son of God. What do we believe? That Christ died for all of us. What do we believe? Christ resurrected the third day. What do we believe? He ascended to heaven. Where is Jesus? Sitting at the right hand of God in a seat of power and with power. What do we believe? He's the one that baptized the Holy Ghost from heaven. What do we believe? That Jesus is coming soon. What do we believe? Eternal life and the resurrection of the dead. We all know statement of faith in way. The core essence of our faith is anchored in Jesus. When I say Jesus is Lord, he's the Lord over my faith. His grace and power command our faith, and it's by grace. So today, Jesus has risen from the dead. Means the name has value, has power among those whose heart are committed to God Almighty. If we approach God in that name, we have access to God. When the believers pray, at the end they say, in the name of Jesus. Why do we say it? Is it the litany? Is this something we say? Why do we say in the name of Jesus? That's the question. When you are praying, you close your prayer in the name of Jesus. What's the meaning? That means the only highway of righteousness and holiness to approach God for favor and mercy is in that name. We are not righteous. Jesus Christ is our righteousness. When you believe his resurrection from the dead, this is key and essential, not just confessing. You have to believe that Jesus has risen from the dead for justification for life, for righteousness' sake. When we believe that Jesus died and resurrected, we put on Christ as our righteousness and walk in newness of life. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth we confess unto salvation, and faith is both. Jesus has risen. Where is Jesus? Sitting at the right hand of God, backing you up, praying for you, praying for me. That's the reason why we pray in the name of Jesus. When you say in the name of Jesus, he's my mediator, my access to God. Nobody comes to God except through me, he said. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 18 says, in him we have access to the Father by one Spirit. Hallelujah. Jesus is the one that ushers us into God's presence. Nobody comes to the Father except through him. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. It is Christ that removed the veil upon our mind for understanding. It's Christ that removed the veil upon our heart to receive God's word direct in our heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 from 15 to 17 says, whoever turns his heart to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Who is Jesus today? Do we see Jesus? Blessed are those who believe and has not seen. Jesus Christ and the word of God are one. Jesus Christ and the living word are one. The living word of life takes the place of Christ. That's the living word that became flesh. If you want to understand John chapter 1, the living word is Christ himself. And the word became flesh and lived in our midst, full of power and authority and glory. So we believers, how do we know the value of the name of Jesus? It is the word of God that teaches us the value of that name. It's the word of Jesus saying, whatever we ask in my name, I will do. So believers are those who believe in him and act faith led by his Spirit, because Christ is our righteousness. Anytime I come before God to pray, lifting my hands, God is not looking at my hands. God is not listening to my mouth. God listens to my heart to see whether the Spirit of his Son abides in me. If I'm led by the Spirit, my heart is circumcised. Romans chapter 2, verse 28 to 29. And the Spirit will help me to praise God in spirit and in truth. The Holy Ghost will lead me to pray. The Holy Ghost will lead me to fast. He'll lead me to worship God. Everything I do must be inspired by the Spirit of God to be in spirit and in truth. The value of that name, heavenly currency, there's no limit to what you can achieve. Sky is your limit. What is that authority? That name is backed up by the power of the Holy Ghost if you call that name in righteousness. Whoever called that name must call him by the power of the Holy Spirit. If we quote that name by ourselves, we call it in vain. But if we are led by the Spirit to call that name in righteousness, we bring God's power unto the scene. God does nothing without the word. The word is Christ. Christ does nothing without the Spirit, the power, the Holy Spirit, to back up the word. That's the key. The word of God is a foundation. It's the word that teaches to give us the faith, necessary faith to believe in that name, Jesus. We speak that word to give life to people. The word we receive in our heart is the word that comes out by faith and releases God's power onto the scene. Peter was an embodiment of the word of God, of the rock of the word. Peter was led by the Holy Ghost in whatever he did, and signs, miracles, and wonders came in the name of Jesus. What makes us Christian? is what makes Peter a Christian. How do people know that Peter was a Christian? The Bible says they call them Christian because they look like Jesus. They were disciples of Christ, and they were embracing Christ's lifestyle of positive faith. They receive his teaching, they receive his word, and they apply his word sent by him in the power of the Holy Ghost. Peter did the greater works. Peter spoke, and that lame man began to walk and astounding everybody. Peter met Tabitha, who was dead, and sent forth the word, and Tabitha was raised from the dead. So many miracles. He walked in the footprint of Jesus for the greater works of high. Why? Because he heard from the Spirit of God. He was led by the Holy Ghost in full power and authority in the name of Jesus. Now, what's the summary of this message? Authority and power can only come when we are not standing in our own name. Authority and power will not come if we are standing in our own name. In other words, authority and power will not come if we are speaking by ourselves. Authority and power will not come if we are acting by our own selves. Authority and power comes when we are sitting on the rock of faith of the living word of God, led by the Spirit of God. When you are led by the Spirit, by faith in that name, miracle takes place. Now, what do we need to do? Meditation in that name, Jesus Christ. Meditating in the blood of Jesus. Meditate about his resurrection. Meditate about his word. That starts the infilling. When the word of God dominates our heart and our mind, therefore, our behavior, our actions will be fulfilled by the fire of the Holy Ghost. When the revealing word of God dominates our heart, when it dominates our mind, when it dominates our mouth, whatever you say will come to pass. When you release your faith in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth over a person or over a situation, led by the Spirit, you have released your faith and brought God's power onto the scene. And when the power of God comes into a scene, Jesus is around. Healing takes place. Salvation takes place. Miracle takes place. That's the standard of Christ. That's why we pray today. That's why every believer who believes in the name prays. When you wake up in the morning, when you pray, in the Jesus name. When you go and worship, in Jesus' name. Whatever we do in the name of Jesus. That's the value, the authority, and power in that name, Jesus. So, 1 Corinthians says that no one can say Jesus Christ is Lord unless it's guided by the Holy Spirit. The question is, no one needs a license to call the name of Jesus. No one needs a certificate to call the name of Jesus. Anybody can call that name. The question, we need to call that name genuinely, for that name is holy. We need to call that name under the guidance and the leading of the Holy Ghost. When we do so, authority and power will back up whatever you say. So right now, this is encouraging you to develop your relationship with the Holy Spirit, to meditate that name, Jesus. There is power in that name. We gave you, at the beginning of this year, Psalm 23. With the hidden names of God. When you meditate in that name, the name of Jesus is there. The name of God is there. Meditate on his name. Because the scripture says in Joel chapter 2 verse 32, whosoever called the name of the Lord shall be saved. We don't invoke that name. We call that name. We are calling a person, a divine person who is alive. I can only call a person who can answer me. Mysticism is not Christianity. They invoke, but they don't know. We don't invoke. We call that name. He hears and answers us by the Spirit of Truth. So what do we need to do? We need to know the value in that name by going back to the scriptures. Read the promises of Christ. Read the saying of Christ. Let us build our faith on the rock of the word of authority in the midst of our heart. The promises are in the Bible, right? But this promise to become alive must be stored here in the power station of God in your heart. When the promise, the word, sink deep in your heart and you meditate on it, it becomes spirit and life. That's the word that the Holy Ghost will use when you pray effectively. That's the word in your heart the Holy Ghost used to bring answer from heaven. He will give the word, you express that word, and you will see the name of Jesus working in that spirit. Testimony came by so many people that say they heard something deep in their heart. That's the word. When you listen to the testimony of your heart, and you listen to the inner voice of the Holy Spirit, whatever you say, whatever you do, wherever you go will come to pass. That's the secret of faith. In Jesus' name. I'm praying for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for this message. Thank you for the resurrection of Jesus. Thank you for the value in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Thank you for the authority heaven backs up that name with full power and authority by your Spirit. Thank you for the power of the Holy Ghost to witness, to sanctify that great name. You give us this prayer. Father, hallowed be your name. Sanctify your name, O Holy Ghost, in our life. The name of Jesus begin to work in the Spirit when it is sanctified by the power of the Holy Ghost, bringing all salvation, eternal life, and all of God's blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 If you know the value of Jesus' name, if you know the authority, God himself back up that name and the power of the Holy Ghost, begin to rejoice in advance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.